Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, presented by our friends, the law firm of Condori and Murad.
As Washington is, we're talking about continuing to build. They've built it, man. As they're building the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That is kmlawyers.com.
Friday in Manassas, our field trip show, 2 to 6:30 live on site. Uptown Alley. Come on out, celebrate a Commanders second round playoff game, the division round, with a bunch of fans wearing burgundy and gold. Cannot wait for 2 o'clock to see you guys out there on Friday. We got a blitz coming your way right now. Let's get to it on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We start on the gridiron. Our buddy Nate Davis, USA Today Sports. Nate, let's begin with last night. Man, were the Vikings dismantled by the Rams. How good was L.A. defensively?
Yeah, I mean, they're fantastic. I mean, they've really kind of done a good job, Les Snead, Sean McVay, of kind of taking that Aaron Donald presence and kind of spreading out the resources, you know, guys like Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, Kobe Turner last year. It's a nice up-and-coming defense there, and then they put it all together last night, and obviously that was really the difference in the game.
Nate, let's go from meaningful teams playing meaningful football to the perennial sideshow circus that is Dallas for a moment. How real is this Deion Sanders thing? I say it's real. Grant says it just kind of can't see it. What do you think?
Two things can be true. you know, he had a tweet last night acknowledging that, you know, he's thinking about it. And Jerry's reached out. And I'm not surprised that happened. Obviously, they go back many years, you know, to back to the days when the Cowboys were a championship caliber team. But, you know, there are certainly reasons to believe that this wouldn't, you know, be a hand in glove marriage. You know, I'm not sure I believe everything Deion says because he's kind of all over the place with his conditions for wanting to come back to the NFL. And certainly I don't see a pathway for Shedeur Sanders to be the Cowboys quarterback. But, you know, if there was a job he was going to take, you know, he lived in Texas for quite a while. He understands, you know, the dynamics of working for Jerry. But, you know, that's also two headstrong guys with you know, a certain way they want to do things. So I feel like at some point that, you know, that would be headed for some kind of conflict there.
Which underdog do you think has the best chance to pull off a road win in this second round? Texans in Arrowhead, the Commanders at Ford Field in Detroit, or the Rams at the Link in Philly?
Given those choices, I would probably say the Rams. You know, I kind of wonder if they're going to run out of a little steam, just given everything they're dealing with in their personal lives. And then you got to make the cross country trip on a short week to a cold environment. You know, against a team that very much, you know, I was at the Eagles game Sunday. You know, those guys were definitely, I think, going to be on their P's and Q's and looking to kind of tighten up the performance that they gave last week. But the Rams did play well. You know, we know they've got battle tested guys on their roster. You know, one of the league's best head coaches. I think of the group you listed there, Grant, I would probably give them the best chance to be the road dog that wins there.
That Ravens-Bills game, Nate, with all due respect to everybody else, that's the marquee, must-see, best theater we got going, the final game of the weekend. How do you see that game? What's the key?
I think the key is the Bills need to get off to a better start, Danny. I've kind of been going over them, and, you know, as many points as they've scored, you know, the last 4 weeks, they're only averaging about 9 points in the first half. And the way the Ravens are playing, they're averaging, I think, 30-plus since their week 14 bye, and more importantly, their defense has really tightened up. I think it's going to be a tough assignment for the Buffalo Bills. You know, we'll see. I think if they're lucky, maybe they'll get some of that lake effect weather or certainly some cold temperatures for, you know, Lamar Jackson, who wears a hoodie when it's 75 degrees. And it didn't look good a couple of years ago when they had some weather up there the last time the Ravens visited them for a playoff game. So I think the Bills are going to need a little help to pull this off.
Nate, awesome as always, buddy. Enjoy the playoff weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Bills.
Thanks, Nate.
Yeah, be good. Read his work in the USA Today and online at their site. All right, let's talk about the local ops. And that operation is on to the divisional round, thanks to the Doink. Chick Hernandez is with us. It was fun seeing him in Tampa, Florida. Chick, I was standing outside the locker room with you. We were about to go in. We were watching all the owners celebrate. And I think we even kind of looked at each other and were like, what the hell, man? I mean, we've been around this thing since standing on the sideline in 2000, 99. Like, this is a wild ride, huh?
Let me just get you back to that last sentence you said. It sounded kind of odd. You said, thanks to the Doink Chick Hernandez. And I was like, wow, it's kind of rude. But anyway.
There was a comma in there.
Yeah.
There was a comma.
Was there a comma? Doink, and then okay. Pause.
Yeah.
And then okay. Chick Hernandez. Yeah.
Didn't quite get the pause. Yeah, listen, it's a little surreal, surely. I keep telling folks, you know, that this, you know, this has been so much better all season long. And then to sit there and watch them win game after game in the final seconds and the way that they're winning and the inches, you know, an Eagles receiver to catch a ball that's one of the best catchers on the team and he drops it and game stays alive and all of these things. And then to as you say, Doink went off the goalpost and it go in when earlier in a playoff game that very day, one did not. You're just like, what's going on here? And then you turn as you're waiting to go to the locker room, and then you see this massive human, and it's Magic Johnson. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What's going on? So it's been a great ride. I keep telling folks, oh, it must be so much easier. It's not easier. It's just more enjoyable.
Yeah. So Chick, you've been around this team for so many years, and
yeah.
We've heard all of these phrases before, it just in different packaging, right? Where it's this one's sure. Brotherhood, the one before is like probably togetherness, and someone was supposed to be where their feet were. And like everyone's always had kind of a catchphrase or a different thing, an identity for team building. I mean, at one point, sure. Everybody was so happy here because they were throwing a big rock at the wall, you know, and everyone kind of had good vibes then. This is right. Different. Try to quantify that for us, if you wouldn't mind. What makes this group different than other ones in the past, even ones that got along?
Well, I'll say this in my 4 o'clock piece, which I guess is running right now, is Sam Cosmi said something to me in the locker room, and I've heard the brotherhood comment before, but he kind of laid it. I said, explain it to me, and he said, look, on a lot of teams that I've been on, and a lot of teams in college and in pros, guys aren't playing for each other. They might say it out to you guys, but they're not playing for each other. He goes, I can feel that we are playing for each other, and that, he said, makes everything matter more. And when you have that, when you have Jaden Daniels, who is not demonstrative after his own touchdown pass, but like a kid in a candy store jumping up and down when Marcus Mariota throws a touchdown in Dallas, when you have that, and when the coach is paying attention to the sidelines to see how guys are reacting, and he's beyond excited as to what he's got and how these guys are reacting to each other. It's that simple. When Jaden is out of breath and has been knocked down and is squatting down, it's not that Marcus Mariota comes over and says, stand up and win this game for us with your God-given talent. It's that the fact that I would say probably 8 other guys before that walked over and tapped him on the shoulder, on the helmet. Zach Ertz, are you good? All of that. They're all checking on each other. That's the quantitative difference for me.
Chick, we appreciate you, buddy. We will see you in Detroit. Thank you for the time. As always, we're watching you on Channel 9.
Bye, Ben. Peace.
See you, buddy.
And I will make sure to have more pause next time between Doink.
That Doink. Chick Hernandez with us now.
There
right,
it is.
Like that.
That's
yeah,
the
yeah.
one. That's our guy, Chick, on our Beltway Blitz. All right, we told you Jaden Daniels spoke today. This was Daniels with the media getting ready for the Lions.
Early morning walkthroughs that you do and with Cliff and all that, what do you get out of those?
Reps. This is going over the plays for the week, and the more reps you get at it, the more comfortable you are with it.
How important do you think they've been for you?
I mean, they help out. Like I said, you know, the best lesson in life is failure. So I get to fail in those type of things, type of situations, and move forward. So by the time game time comes, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just going out there and playing.
Early thoughts on Detroit's defense? Just what they've obviously had a lot of injuries, but it's still been pretty productive.
Yeah, good defense. They get their hands on the ball, obviously, with Kirby and, well, I call him BB, but Brian Branch. Obviously, up front, what they could do, create pressure, play some man coverage because they trust their guys on the outside. You know, it's going to be a challenge for us.
Obviously, there's been a lot of alumni around here over the course of the year, which for you is the norm, but historically has not been the case. A lot of the guys have just not been around. Do you sense when you've been around them that there is some sort of joy with them as they're talking to you and this team about this change this season and how things are looking different than it's been the last many years?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, everybody's excited. I don't really focus too much on that. You know, I kind of focus on the task at hand, but we love having them around and showing their support and their joy to the season that we're having.
Jaden, on Monday, DQ said that inside the lens of the helmet that you're a killer. So I'm curious, that mentality, when you're on the field, what does that look like? What does that feel like?
I don't have an answer for you on that. I'm just competitive, man. You know, I just want to win. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. But to answer the question, I really don't know. It's kind of just me just going out there and playing football.
And this is truly a full circle moment for you. This is going to be your first time back in Detroit since the NFL draft. I mean, how cool is that for this kind of this full circle to kind of be completed here?
I mean, it's awesome. Just, you know, somewhere where my dreams became reality. And now to go back and play a playoff game there against a very good team, you know, it's just nothing but a blessing.
You have professed to be just steady and calm. Did the first playoff game feel any different to you at all? And as that you get deeper, has anything changed in the makeup of your guys?
Nah, it's just another game to me. Obviously, everybody puts the implications and, you know, makes it bigger than what it really is. But at the end of the day, it's still the game. You got to go out there and stick to your routine, stick to who you are, the process of what got you there, and go out there and just play football. And then to the guys, you know, we're just taking it day by day. Be what our feet are, and, you know, we'll handle business when the time to come.
Coach said he loves the last five, six games. This is why you coach, is to be in those situations where you can pull it out. Sometimes it doesn't work out for you. What's it like for the quarterback of this team when you're in it to win it at the last minute?
I mean, it's like kind of what he says, what you live for. It's what you kind of play the sport for. When it's time to go out there and make plays, you're going to see who rises to the occasion and make plays. So, you know, we kind of thrive there. Obviously, we would rather go out there and win by 20. But when those situations come up, that's what DQ and them preach so much, and they teach us about situational football, so we're always prepared for those moments.
Obviously, a couple days later, how's the cheek, eye? Like, how you feeling?
I'm good. It was just nothing but a little cut.
Any annoyances with it at all, or has it changed the helmet or anything?
Nah, just a little cut.
I'm kind of going back to his question about those late-game moments. I mean, are there times in these games where, like, you know what's going to come down to the wire, and then kind of how do you mentally start preparing on, you know, how you guys handle that?
I think you kind of just see like how much time you're going to get with kind of the clock. You know, you can get the ball back at, you know, this amount of time, obviously bearing if like a turnover or something doesn't happen. But I mean, it's kind of just staying in the moment, not worried too much about what the outcome could be, what the, you know, the end of the score, what could happen there. It's like, hey, when we get an opportunity to go out there, and you got to go out there and make some plays, let's do it.
And David Blau, I mean, I know he's talking to you a bit after the last game. How has he helped you this season? I mean, what has his, you know, been his biggest strength in his first year as a coach?
I mean, just the approach. Obviously, he's competitive too, so we get there, and he, you know, tries to fire me up with some things and get me going. But obviously, just the ins and outs. He's very smart, very intelligent, and, you know, just the little things. But obviously, too much. They don't really like try to coach me a lot outside of the X's and O's. Just kind of just, hey, be there, motivate, breathe life into me, and let me go out there and play ball.
When's the last time you were nervous on a football field?
I don't know. I want to say like nervous, but I think, like, you just get butterflies. I kind of just, my dad always told me, like, if you get butterflies, that means you're alive, but it's not necessarily nervous because I'm always prepared.
When did your dad tell you that, and what was, you know, did you embrace it, or did it come over time?
I don't think I was ever nervous because it was just fun. Football is fun for me. But I just know that I'm always prepared for the moment. I can just go out there and live what happens.
Good afternoon, Jaden. You talked about De'Ami Brown making some big plays for you guys on Sunday. Can you just kind of talk overall about him as a receiver and as a teammate?
Yeah, great teammate. Has my back. I have his back, and, you know, he's always there for everybody. So just see him when those times and those plays need to be made, for him to step up and make those plays in those critical moments. No, none but excitement for him and how hard he works, because I know he prepared for moments like that.
Hey, Jaden, staying on the receivers right now, OZ and Crowder, Brown, and all of those guys, have you seen that they have even stepped up even more now? Because when you look at their play right now, you know, everybody is involved in the process right now and making big plays.
Yeah, I think those guys are just making the plays when they come their way. They're not pressing or, you know, anything. You know, they work extremely hard. You know, they block without the ball. You know, that's kind of what we preach on offense, like, hey, doing running without the ball. You know, you never know what block might spring the next runner. You never know what you could do to help out, you know, the team. So it's just 11 playing as one. Everybody's doing their job, and, you know, that's kind of what we preach. So kind of to answer your question, what you see, everybody, like, level of play rising. I mean, there's no surprise to me.
Hi, Jaden. I'm not sure if you've had time since you got back from Tampa, or if you've been able to see, I guess, the level of excitement. I mean, it's been nearly 20 years since this franchise has won a playoff game. Have you seen it at all, the excitement amongst the community, amongst the fans, and what's that kind of like, knowing that you were able to help lead and bring something back to this fan base?
No, I haven't been able to see it. You know, I kind of stay in my own bubble right now, you know, focus on what's next. But I could just tell a lot of people are excited. I mean, the people I kind of experience more the most is my parents. So they always tell me about everybody that's excited to see them and stuff like that. But for me, I just kind of just stay in my own bubble, stay at home.
You've always been within your bubble, your family, your friends. You had your teammates from LSU come out and support you in Tampa. How integral has that support been, your support system, your inner circle been for you as you've gone throughout this rookie year?
Yeah, it's night and day. Just knowing that I have people in there, win, lose, or draw, no matter what, always going to love me unconditionally, always there to support me. And then, you know, just see Malik and Brian show up to the game. They didn't have to do that. Could have been somewhere on vacation or anything. But, you know, that relationship, that bond that we built over those couple of years, man, it's just bigger than football. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of just was able to know that, like, I have people outside of football that's going to help me out and take care of things that I need to be taken care of, so I could just focus solely on football when the time being. So, yeah, it's been a joy for sure.
Jaden, Detroit's got one of the great crowds and atmospheres in the league. What are some of the elements in pre-snap operation that allow you all to get to the play, get to a check, get to whatever you need to do, and execute without the false starts, without the offsides, all the motions or similar penalties?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of just getting on the ball, getting set, not really just moping around. So we have time to see the defense, to see if we need to make a check, or, you know, we need to communicate protection and stuff like that. So it kind of just goes with our urgency and how we approach the line of scrimmage each and every play.
How important is Biadasz to you as this is going on, as this goes on in real time, as the play clock's going down?
Extremely important. Just somebody I talk to daily about different looks that we see, whether that's run game protection, stuff like that. So just be able to be on the same page. So we see something, we already know, like, hey, this is a look, let's do this protection, let's go here, let's maybe flip this protection and go this way.
Couple more.
To follow up on Dia's question, just kind of about crowd, playing big time college football, you've played in a ton of big environments before. Is that something that you've had to grow with and get adjusted to, or is it something that, you know, kind of being calm and cool in those situations came second nature?
I think you kind of just get used to it, but obviously it's something new to me, and I heard Detroit is very electric, so I'm excited for them, for their fans to come out and bring some juice, because I know it's a very passionate fan base, and obviously rightfully so with the team that they're having. So I know it's going to be loud in there. So, you know, we got to go out there and be prepared, ready for the crowd noise.
Are you the type of guy that draws off opposing teams' noise? Can you get a little juice from that?
Nah, I just go out there and just do me.
Appreciate
you. Appreciate y'all.
Unequivocally will be the loudest environment Jaden Daniels has played in this season. And I would think ever. I know he went to some crazy hostile places for college football, for the SEC, but indoors, I think that, you know, it's Buffalo, Detroit, Seattle in terms of some of the loudest, but indoors in Detroit for a game like this where it's a two-week ramp-up, knowing you're going to have a home date, I mean, tickets for this game are like $800.
Yeah, for a team that's never done it, quite literally, Detroit just doesn't go to the Super Bowl, has barely been out of their own way for decades. I mean, that place is ready to explode. Like, they are so hungry for this, and they know their window is wide open with that squad as nasty as it is.
I just can't wait for Saturday night. The first time, I believe, we're ever doing this for the Commanders. I believe we've done this during a Nats World Series run before, but we've never done this for the Commanders. Do you remember the vent clock?
Of course.
We do that a lot around here.
We've done that plenty for
when
Washington.
When teams are bad and we're angry. We're going to do the praise clock next. You're going to get 45 seconds to praise whoever you want to. To heap admiration, to send thank yous to put over, to compliment whoever you want. It's the opposite of the Grant and Danny staple when things are going badly. Mm-hmm. The vent clock, mm-hmm. This is the first ever Commander's praise clock. Line them up, 800-636-1067 to heap your admirations next on The Fan. Inappropriate, Danny. Inappropriate. 30 minutes from now, Austin Eckler on the show presented by IT Cadre, our weekly appointment with Eckler after a playoff win. He made one of the plays of the game. Big second down, catch and run, got him into field goal position to set up the doink winner. As we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, closing in on Eckler. We're going to do something for the first time ever. We'll see how it goes. We're going to learn this thing together. So, Darius, you've got a 45-second timer, presumably, yes? Love that. And at the end of the 45 seconds, we'll have some kind of identification that your time is up. When you hear the bell,
there you go.
It's over, right? This is a praise clock.
So we've done the vent clock for years. Like a team loses, or they lose all the time, or you're just... It's a great time to be pissed off and mad. We've done that forever. Right? In perpetuity. That was one of the original things that you and I did. It's like along with like, what are you eating? Double play, beltway blitz. We've kind of always done it. Well, here's the thing. You got a 13-win team in the second round of the postseason, right? You got the rookie of the year quarterback. You've got a great GM, a head coach that everybody loves, an ownership group that knows what the hell they're doing. It's not really time for a vent clock. What's the opposite of that? We came up with the praise clock. Whoever you want to give some flowers to, some roses, some compliments, whoever should be the recipient, it's up to you. Take it wherever you want it.
All right, I will start this show. I believe we're going to substitute a buzzer for a bell, though. Mm-hmm. So that's how you know it's over mm-hmm. at 45 seconds. But I'll show you how it's done here. I'll put 45 seconds on the clock.
Here we go.
I am choosing... Wait, not quite yet. I'm choosing to praise Adam Peters, which will surprise no one. All right, start it off. Adam, you are exceptionally handsome. One of the best-looking executives in all of sport. Your jawline would make Henry Cavill jealous, and your haircut looks like it costs $200. But I choose to praise you for your football acumen. What a job you did in year one. Even the stuff I didn't love when you did it. Dan Quinn as head coach worked out beautifully. You chose Jaden Daniels as your quarterback. So far, a home run for the record books. But it's the subtle moves. It's the leadership of Bobby Wagner at linebacker. It's paying Luvu to break out and be elite. It's the one-year deal for Jeremy Chinn, who's been outstanding. It's the excellent contract and addition of Austin Eckler, who's been a key. Everything you've touched has turned to gold. It's not the Midas touch. It's the Peters touch. I thank you, Adam Peters. And that is how the praise clock works. Danny, you are on the clock now.
Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, Mark Hine, Mitch Rales, thank you. This is what it's supposed to look like. Decent human beings. That's all you have to be. Just decent human beings that acknowledge there are things that you may not be experts in. It's okay to not be an expert in something. I don't know how to do any plumbing. That's why I hire a plumber. You guys don't know how to be a football GM. That's why you hire a football GM. And Adam Peters set the whole culture, set the whole tone. You do the thing that's needed to be done as an ownership group. You put lipstick on that stupid pig that is Northwest Nubs, FedEx Field, Armless 40, known as whatever. You make sure the team stays out on the road when they got to stay out on the road. You go the extra mile. You take care of the group because the whole operation is supposed to be about winning football games. And that's what you guys are about, and you're reaping the rewards. All it takes is competent ownership to give you a chance, and you are.
Attaboy. Toby Altizer, you hear him after games, and you will again this week, working post-game deep into the evening. Toby, the praise clock begins now.
I want to praise Terry McLaurin. This guy never complained about anything. The furthest thing we ever got and close to a complaint was him joking, saying he was doing cardio one game. That's all that we got. And we said, if this guy got a quarterback, he could be a legit wide receiver. And what do you know? You get him a legit quarterback. He's a second-team All-Pro. He gets into a playoff game where they have a legit chance to win. He goes for 89 yards and a touchdown. He never complains about anything. He's an incredible leader. He's someone that everyone should want to be like. And he's playing for our football team that's moving on to the divisional round of the playoffs. Thank you so much, Mr. Terry McLaurin.
Didn't even need all 45. He's a pro in that way. You guys know Dad.
Tell me that.
He was one of the two people that helped make you possible, right? Gave birth to you many, many years ago with Mom. Dad, 45 seconds on the clock. Let's start praising.
I want to praise Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, thank you for bringing the linebacker position back to relevance here in the Washington, D.C. area. Our previous coaching staff didn't believe that linebackers mattered, and they showed us by putting lackluster talent on the field year after year after year. Dan Quinn, what did you do? You walked in this building. You said, I'm bringing Bobby Wagner along with me, and I'm signing Frankie Louvu, and both of those guys are going to make the All-Pro team, and they're going to make the difference for our defense. They're going to turn this defense around, and they did. They made this defense respectable as opposed to the joke that it's been the last several years under Ron Rivera and his leadership. And for that, Dan Quinn, I thank you. And for that, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, thank you for bringing linebacker back to Washington, D.C. and being a respectable position.
It is amazing, by the way, that a linebacker, Ron Rivera is your head coach and GM, basically, and a linebacker, Jack Del Rio, is your D coordinator, both kind of decided, we don't think that position matters very much.
It's odd. Like, given the history of it, right? I mean, it's like, imagine a quarterback or a former offensive player that ends up becoming head coach being like, you know what, we're gonna win with defense. We're gonna win by punting and field
Buffalo
position.
Nickel, though. Yeah, that seriously. So much.
If only I could hear that phrase one more time. I heard that phrase as much during the Rivera era as what was his
name? So more so than anything else. Thing about it is.
Thing about it is good. I'm trying to think of the other one he always said. Oh, be where your feet are. Hated that one.
Don't draw me a map unless you're a Buffalo Nickel. Okay?
That one. Don't draw me a map unless you're Jamin Davis or Emmanuel Forbes. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that one either. All right. Corporate Clary, you have 45 seconds to praise whoever you'd like.
Jared Goff, I mean, you mean the world to me. And once I kind of get talking about Jared Goff, it's just a deeper meaning to what you may realize out there. You get traded away from the Rams, you get sent out to Detroit, and they're like, dude, he's going to go fail. He's going to be a nobody, just like Matthew Stafford was in Detroit, and you're not going to be good at all. Well, last year, it went to the NFC Championship game. He should have won that.
Yeah, when you're praising Lions, you only get 20 seconds. Okay. We didn't tell you those rules.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
But I am glad that you're glad.
That's fine.
That Jared Goff is moving on. Corporate Clary, ladies and gentlemen. He really has gone full heel Vince McMahon style.
He's embraced his new lifestyle.
Which I like. All right, let's go to the phones. Edwin is in Silver Spring. Edwin, you know how the game is played?
Yes, I do.
All right, 45 seconds on the clock. Begin now.
All right, I want to praise the receiving corps in the last game, man. Like, I feel like there was a stretch of games where we played. There were so many drops. There was just, you know, people weren't making plays, but in this last game, I was like watching with my old friends, and I was like, man, everybody's playing their ass off. Like, everybody's making their grabs. People, like, gaining yards, a lot of yak. Everybody was just, you know, making plays in the playoffs. I loved it. Passes were all perfect. You know, people had to come back to some balls, get low, dive, this or that. But everybody was on their job, man. I loved it. I loved it. And I got a quick question for 5 o'clock. If Terry plays 6 years with Jaden, do you think he could contend for the Hall of Fame?
Well, I appreciate the question. I will jot it down to come back to you later.
Oh, hello.
But
there,
as you may know, it's not time for questions.
Mm-mm.
It's time for the praise clock. Let's go to Fred, who's in Bristow on G&D. Hello, Fred. How are you?
Hi, Fred.
Doing good, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Put 45 seconds on the clock. Fred, start praising.
My praise goes to the ownership. They have instilled an entirely new culture in this team, and everything starts from the top and works down. And the difference is like night and day. It reminds me of the Cook era, where you always knew something good was going to happen. You could always look forward to the upcoming season, even if the last didn't go well. And I think that's what these guys have brought to this team. And so I applaud them. I thank them. I didn't think I'd live to see the day again that we used to have back during the Cook days.
Thank you, sir.
Just in time.
Yeah, right
beat
in
the
there.
Clock. We appreciate you. I was actually, you know, thinking about when you were talking about ownership, Danny, like mm-hmm. the decency and the decorum, the night and day difference, and how it does really matter. When you're not afraid for your job or looking over your shoulder, and I mean even just the little people on the totem pole, the people doing the stuff that we feel like we don't see on Sundays that work over there, the entire environment has changed.
Well, that turf field at their dump facility in Ashburn was unusable for decades. They went, well, that's ridiculous, and they fixed it. They made sure fans could come see training camp right away. They put bleachers up. You just do the thing. Just do the right thing. You don't worry about bottom line or cost. You do the right thing enough, it makes people happy.
Austin Eckler in 20 minutes. How about our guy Josh in Upper Marlboro on Grant and Danny? It's time for a praise clock. Josh, are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm ready. I'd like to praise the ESPN and Washington Post and City Paper reporters who reported on Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen for all those years and told the truth and helped to chase his grubby little self away from our team, yeah. which allowed Josh mm-hmm. Harris to come in, who brought in Adam Peters, who hired Dan Quinn, who drafted Jaden Daniels, who brought in Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner, who recovered the fumble that enabled the doink that led to the best sports week of my 42-year-old life and thrilled my wife and daughter and my 4-year-old and converted my 9-year-old from the Eagles to the Commanders. So thank you to those reporters that started it all off.
Let's
I
go.
I love that.
That one's perfect.
I love that.
I could follow that chain one by one. It was, you know, one after another, the slow burn all the way to, did I hear a conversion?
A conversion.
From the Eagles
That's
to the
conversion.
Commanders. This is how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to, you've never heard of this man, but Adam Epstein does a great radio show in Richmond.
I know that guy.
You know Awad?
I do.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And so I was on with Awad today, and he was asking about if this brings back memories of my childhood and the teams that I loved in 05 and 99 that made the playoffs and got wins. And I said, it absolutely does. But those years made me the diehard fan that I became. They made me love this team forever and ever and ever. And without those years, who knows? I mean, I'm a DC guy, so I would have liked the team, but is the passion the same? Do you go through all the bad? But if you're 10 now, like I was mm-hmm. in 99, if you're 14, like I was in 05 or whatever, in those formative, you know, you're still childhood years of falling in love with the team, you're building fans forever. And it takes runs like this, wins like Sunday. That's what it takes. We're praising whoever you'd like to. You get to choose. You get 45 seconds to tell them how awesome they are. Normally, this is event clock about this organization.
Not up in here.
Not anymore. The praise clock continues next. Austin Eckler at 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. This is the Fan Commanders Lions in Detroit Saturday night. We got Austin Eckler to preview the game with us at 5. Can't wait to talk to him in 12 minutes, presented by IT Cadre. Right now, though, we're giving you a chance to praise somebody in the organization with a praise clock. So Clary went earlier and tried to praise Jared Goff. Let's get a Commander's praise clock out of Ryan before we get back to the phones, 800-636-1067. Just to show the people how it works, your time starts now.
I'd like to praise Cliff Kingsbury. And Cliff, when you came here, I was pissed off, frankly. It was not a good time for me. I was not in on you, Cliff, but you have proven me wrong. You have been the guy for Jaden Daniels. You have been the guy for Terry McLaurin. And also, as of recent, Zach Ertz has come out of nowhere and has played a huge role in this offense. I am so happy to have you here, Cliff. I want you to be here forever and ever and ever. And also, I'm going to praise the fans. You made it feel like a home environment down in Tampa. Thank you, Commanders fan base, because you have made our team cool yet again.
40 seconds is all
we
needed.
Really good. We got a thank in there. Got everything you want.
I noticed the thank.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving's coming quickly. It'll be November before we know it. Let's go to Nate, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Nate, are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, praise clock. Let's do it. Okay. Starts now.
All right, I'd like to thank Zach Ertz, actually, because to be honest, well, my answer was just taken previously, but to be honest, Zach Ertz, you went to a new team after so many years, and you showed that it was possible to be able to put your best foot forward, be a part of the group, make a difference. You didn't give up on yourself. They used to always say you just make the catcher fall. You started running with the ball, and I appreciate your help. Thank you so much, Zachary.
And he didn't listen to the haters. I mean, he got more crap for just being a pretty good football player mm-hmm. all year than anybody on this team. I never really understood it. There's just guys that everyone hates. If it's Benjamin St. Juice who's had a bad year, I at least understand it. I think that it's overblown, and no one is as bad a player as whoever's in the fan doghouse generally. But the Zach Ertz stuff never made sense. He's just the perfect safety valve, safety blanket, helps Jaden between plays on the sideline. He's just a great leader. But yeah, he had a very quietly excellent year. He was stunningly silent in this game. He had the one catch that was huge for 12 yards on a third and 10.
On the fourth down, too, right? Did he have a fourth down conversion?
Oh, that's true. I guess he had two catches in the game. So two monster catches. But that's it, as best I can remember.
That's right.
Move the chains on
two for 23,
Fourth and five, and then on a third and 10, caught a 12-yard pass when Jaden kind of ran backwards into the end zone and kept a play alive. Let's go to Bill in Manassas. Bill, you know we're coming out to Uptown Alley in Manassas on Friday for a field trip show.
Awesome, man. Looking forward to it, guys.
Yeah, come out there. We'll be there 2 to 6:30. But your 45-second praise clock starts right now.
All right. Although this person is not an official member of the staff of the Commanders, this person has endured 21 years of watching a fan despondent, enabling this person to still encourage and go to games. Chicago, Eagles game, and now making it possible to drive to Detroit with their son to watch the Commanders take the Detroit Lions down this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. My praise goes to my wife, Courtney. Her, it wouldn't be possible.
Courtney made it all possible.
Way to go, Courtney.
And may I ask you, Bill, if you don't mind, and this is probably too much for the radio, how much did you spend on the tickets? I'm curious what people are getting tickets for.
Well, she does know the price, so I'm not afraid to put it out there. We did discuss this.
Okay.
The talk was for the nosebleeds, but we're four rows up, 30-yard line. I paid $1,000 a ticket, fellas. Once-in-a-lifetime experience with my son.
Let's go.
Love it.
You know what we call this? A core memory, Bill. How old is he?
15 years old.
That's perfect.
So I'll tell you, this is not a bit. I was in my bathroom, out of the shower, like, just brushed the teeth, you know, looking into the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about going to that 99 playoff game and like some of those games with my dad. And now I'm old enough in my mid-30s with my own kids where I get to see my parents. I'm lucky. I still live about an hour and a half away. But I see them for a day at a time at a family party.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm lucky, they'll stay over in the next morning, give them a hug, and they head out or whatever. And they're in their 70s, you know, and I'm in my 30s. And it's like, I'll never have that again.
That's right.
And I literally just start, like, as emotional as I can get by myself in my house, staring in a mirror, just thinking about, like, those memories with my dad at those games, driving me to all those Redskins games for all those years, a couple hours from the stadium when I was growing up. Like, it's so important, and it's so meaningful. So for his kid, I don't even know if he'll know now how cool that is.
Yeah.
There's going to be a day when his son's wearing a Jaden Daniels jersey, running around being excited for the weekend, when he's staring into his mirror, fighting back tears, thinking about when he got to go to those games with
his
dad.
You don't know until much later. It's like now I think about like at some sweaty 200-degree summer league game in the middle of nowhere where I'm dying of thirst and there's my dad with a Gatorade. You know what I mean? Like just sitting in his portable chair, just, you know, keeping score. Like that stuff, then it was like, oh, that's fine. Now it's just like I get so verklempt. I get so choked up thinking about it.
Seymour and Bluemont, who do you want to praise?
What's up, gents? I tell you what, I think when that kid's thinking about those memories and his dad's looking back on his life, he needs to think about the debt of gratitude he owes to the inside 3 inches of the right upright of the goalpost at Raymond James Stadium. Mm-hmm. I think we all can agree that we owe a big old thanks to the inside 3 inches. What do you guys say?
You know what? Normally 3 inches is a bad thing.
No, but so it's fine for some people.
That's a good point.
That's all I'm saying.
Those 3 inches.
Three.
The best 3 inches money can buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The right upright. There's no better 3 inches out there than the right upright.
I will say
in
that.
Tampa, Florida. Right?
You don't have to pay a premium price usually for 3 inches. Readily available.
Not generally.
Yeah.
But that's as good a 3 inches as you're going to get.
Yep.
Let's go to Josh in Mechanicsville on G&D. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's up, Grant Danny?
Hey, buddy.
3 inches, caller, never man, been listen. Better, Josh.
What's that?
Nothing.
It's not important. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I want to praise, he's not with the organization no more, but you guys, Daniel Snyder, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, sir, for selling this team.
Short and sweet.
Succinct. Done.
I actually went to him because on the call screener it said Bears for not taking Jaden Daniels. And I thought that was funny.
That would be a good thing, too.
That's a really good one. That's a good start. All right, Austin Eckler joins the show next. We're going to talk to him not only about the doinking in to beat Tampa Bay, but about the Lions. You'll definitely want to hear this, presented by IT Cadre right here on The Fan.